Welcome to On Texas Football. I'm Bobby Burton, your host, joined today by Inside Texas's publisher, Eric Nahlin. Eric, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Bobby. How's it going?
Good. This is our weekly segment called State of the Program. Eric is uniquely qualified to really talk about all aspects of the Longhorns, from insider notes on practice and scrimmages to recruiting as well. He kind of oversees it all a little bit and talks about it all. Let's start with the most interesting news the last 24 hours, at least in my opinion. Ajai Hall, the wide receiver from Bama, pledges to Texas, puts out a post on social media last night. He's going to be a Longhorn. What's your overall thought on that pledge and what Texas has done in the portal thus far?
Yeah, he's another indicator that Steve Sarkisian's trying to increase the overall ceiling of the program talent-wise, you know, and that's what he is. He's a high-ceiling player. Maybe not the best floor, but, you know, they need to get more dangerous overall, a guy that can play, change the complexion of a game with one play, but really a guy who makes scheming easier because he's going to draw attention on the outside because of how much of a deep threat he is. He's a vertical threat for sure. He might end up being the best vertical threat on the campus, and that's kind of crazy to say because of Isaiah Nayer's touchdown to catch ratio last year, and then, of course, Xavier Worthy. He's not as well-rounded as those other two as of yet. But create a little space for him, or he'll create space for you just by drawing attention.
He's that long strider, got a chance to, I mean, you said he kind of like ran like Bambi, you know, just like a deer almost. The thing that I would say, and I wrote about this morning on Inside Texas is, you know, I think you said they're trying to get more dangerous. I said, Steve Sarkisian is not going to go into a gunfight with a knife.
Yeah,
he's literally right. Trying to find some people that he thinks he can win with, and so whether or not the people in Tuscaloosa who have you know, pointed to Ajai Hall as either a problem or something like that, regardless, they don't deny his athletic ability or his ability to get open per se. So we'll see how that goes and how that goes around. Texas still involved with others in the portal. O'Shawn Mathis, the defensive end from TCU, there's no change there to your knowledge, right?
No, I mean, I think we were on the show last week or whenever it was, you know, saying we're pretty confident on both Ajai Hall and O'Shawn Mathis. So if that one sticks to form, then Texas should be in good shape there. We're kind of hearing very similar things regarding those two, that Texas is in the pole position.
Texas still also recruiting Caleb Johnson, linebacker out of UCLA. By way of Fullerton College, and actually played three games at Texas his sophomore year. We'll see how that turns out. Texas still could be looking for a safety, we think, in the portal. And if the right offensive lineman came along, they may be looking for him. We saw that with Amarius Mims, who ended up sticking at Georgia as well. Eric, how is let's change up a little bit here and now go to high school recruiting. How do you see the Longhorns doing on the high school level right now?
To me, it's all about positioning and being able to pounce on your top priorities as soon as you're ready to identify them. You know, the next couple of weeks are going to be heavy on evaluation, in-person evaluation. They'll hit the road, and their board is probably going to be shifting and changing shape, you know, throughout the next couple of weeks, probably into June, actually. I don't think we'll have a clear idea of who the real summer priorities are until early June, mid-June, and even through some of those official visits, you know, we'll start getting an idea who's going to be on campus, but we still might not know until it's time for them to start taking and pushing for commitments. It's going to be interesting to see.
For those that don't follow recruiting heavily, April and May are evaluation periods for high school athletes, so the college coaches can actually go on campus and see the kids work out in spring practice. And so they'll get to see a wide, they've got a group of wide receivers right now that Texas likes. They'll get to evaluate them against one another essentially on a day by day basis. So that's what Eric is talking about when he's saying it'll kind of wash out a little bit and that you'll get a sense for that. Eric, of course, one name that always you don't have to worry about actually vetting him out because you know Texas wants him is Arch Manning. Where is Texas in that recruitment? How do you feel like it's going?
You know, I was expecting, or at least thinking is highly likely, that he would have, you know, make two April visits to Texas. Right now, it looks like only one. His teammate, Will Randall, will be on campus this Saturday, or actually, he'll be on campus Friday. But the main attraction for him, of course, is a spring game. I'm not sure that really breaks Texas's heart, because there's just going to be so much going on with the spring game. And I think anytime Manning's on campus, it draws a lot of attention, justifiably so. So, yeah, I think that one's going to play out into June. And I like UT's chances. You know, I don't think Bama is as big of a threat as people have said. I've maintained that for a month or two now. I think Georgia kind of took their place as the number one competition between Texas and for Arch.
Moving on to the team right now. Closed practice yesterday, but you were able to get some insider notes and nuggets up. What were the overriding thoughts on what you heard yesterday from scrimmage?
Well, we posted Jaren Thompson had a strong scrimmage on Saturday, and that bore out on Tuesday as he ran with the number one defense at field safety. So, you know, that's just going to be an interesting battle well into August. You know, there's a lot of excitement around Keaton Crawford making that jump, but I think maybe Sark started throwing some more things out there and his head started swimming a little bit more. Jaren Thompson is a smart football player. He's known to know pretty much the whole defense, not just the secondary duties. So there might be a little more stability back there with Jaren at this time, maybe not as much athletic upside. And then there's JD Coffee. So that's going to be one of those, battles that plays out well into August, I think. And you know, all those guys are going to play. They're not afraid to rotate on defense as we saw last year. I expect all those guys to play. Michael Taffey, the walk-on, actually, who's best known for that incredible interception he had versus Quinn Ewers in the state championship game a couple years ago. He's at second team nickel right now. We've heard good things about him, even before he was on campus. They actually made a room within the walk-on program to make sure they could get him. And he looks like he belongs. He's definitely competitive. And you know, I don't want to go into the stereotypical, aspects too much, but he's a smart player that's in the right place at the right time.
The other thing that I found interesting, you mentioned Maurice Blackwell, out of Arlington, Martin. He's now at the boundary corner.
No, boundary safety.
Boundary safety, backing up Anthony Cook. Is that correct?
Yeah, he had a pick in the end zone yesterday. You know, they really like his – he's an extremely enthusiastic player. He's, you know, he loves the game. That's half the battle right there. He had an interception. Interesting player. He's kind of a bigger – he's on the bigger side for safeties. Obviously, he was kind of a tweener between safety and linebacker coming out. He's gonna play a lot next year as well. But yeah, he had a good pick in end zone drills yesterday. I'm not exactly sure which quarterback it was. It might have been Card.
Yeah. What was interesting, I think about Maurice Blackwell, one of the things that comes back to me is what Steve Sarkisian said, is that he is one of the best tacklers on the team. Yeah. Able to get people to the ground. And if he's, you know, if he can cover ground, the problem that Sark said he was worried about was his ability to make up deep ground down the field.
I'm not surprised about the tackling ability at all. If you watch his high school film, he's playing defense from every position possible, and that puts you at a lot of weird angles at times. You're playing from depth, you're playing on the line of scrimmage. There's a lot going on there, so that doesn't surprise me. And then you kind of expect him to be more physical for safety, having that sort of a linebacker mentality.
Eric, I feel like we buried the lead somewhat because of the Ajai Hall news, but spring game's on Saturday. This is our last, your and I's last discussion prior to the spring game for state of the
maybe,
program.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Well,
maybe
last,
who knows?
Last planned discussion on video, unless some commitment happens or something else. But my question for you in this is really, what are the things that you're looking for on Saturday that your eyes are going to kind of be peeled?
Well, I'm looking for individual talent to stand out. It's going to be a lot harder to suss out schemes and cohesion in that regard, because you won't have necessarily the first team guys always playing with each other. And so I want individual talent should stand out. And you know, what we've written is that all the highest ceiling players have had springs that we can tell that they're developing pretty much across the board. And so if that's the case, then that should bear out on Saturday. And we should see some of those guys with the brightest NFL futures should be the ones making plays. Of course, you know, those guys might tend to be in limited action, right? I'm not talking about Bijan and Xavier Worthy there because they're knowns. But the higher upside guys like Alfred Collins, Tavondre Sweat, the quarterbacks, You know, those guys should be making some noise. Isaiah Neyor, I would throw in there.
What about the quarterback battle itself? What are you expecting to see?
Well, I'm curious to see if they tailor the offense a little bit more in one direction for their strengths. You know, Hudson Card is better at RPOs, but of course Quinn Ewers is good at them. And Quinn Ewers is better on the deep ball, and maybe better throwing downfield to the field side. But that doesn't mean Hudson Card can't make those throws, because he has an arm for it too. And we've heard Hudson has been more accurate on the deep ball. So, but I do want to see if they take more shots with Quinn, or if they run more RPOs with Hudson, just to see if there's anything to that sort of theory that they're going to, if one is the starter, they'll move the offense in one direction as opposed to the other.
Hudson take the first snap of spring ball?
He should. I mean, I imagine he will. I mean, I'm not saying he should as far as, like, it's my opinion. I'm saying he should based on practices and stuff like that. I know Quinn Quinn has turned it into a real competition, which I think a lot of people expected. But I don't think he's, you know, you still defer to the elder statesman at this time.
I've got two pieces that I wanted to mention and get your takes on them. Offensive line, I really want to see how they hold up, not necessarily in the run game, more in pass protection. Like, are they getting beat by simple moves, by not necessarily highly athletic plays, but just cohesiveness and ability? Yeah. And particularly if we do see Hayden Connor at left tackle, Cole Hudson at right guard, like we've been thinking, or left guard, excuse me, what does that look like in the absence of Andre Kerrich? And then on defense, it's a couple things. It's pass rush. Look, Texas doesn't have a special pass rusher unless it's Alfred Collins, in my opinion. I mean, he's the only guy that really you just look at and go, oh, he could be a special guy. Now, Byron Murphy's a little different because he's such an interior guy, but he's not really a pass rush specialist at this point. Collins is the only one. So I'm looking to see if there's anybody, any of the new guys that might actually flash, or say it's DJ Harris, or who knows, David Abiara. I mean, we haven't heard from him in a while. Guys like that. Right. To see if they actually flash at all. And then the secondary we talked about, I think it's just cohesiveness. You know, what do they look like and how do they play all together? What are your thoughts what you're looking for on the O-line, the pass rush, and the secondary?
Well, yeah, I think kind of the opposite of the high ceiling guys that we're excited about is the young guys. That, you know, that's not to say they don't have high ceilings either, but they're unknown on this level, you know, the freshmen. So Cole Hudson, I can't wait to see him. I've been excited about him for a very long time. I thought he was quite underrated throughout the process, and I was happy they took him. It was, you know, he was one of their very early takes for Flood, so that to me tells you a lot. He's always reminded me of Hayden Connor, and I was always a Hayden Connor fan, so that makes a lot of sense for him at guard. If he's holding up at the point of attack, you know, we've heard good things that they expect him to play, so I'll be looking at him. Terrence Brooks, can't wait to see Terrence Brooks. I'd love to see him going up against some of the better wide receivers and see how he does one-on-one. You can get in these little individual matchups where you're going to be able to see the talent. Like, forget that it's a spring game and they're not trying to show too much. You know, he's not going to want to get beat, you know, and you're going to see everything he's got athletically. And conversely, you'll see it from whoever the wide receiver is as well. So those individual matchups I'm really looking forward to. Scheme, I think that you won't see too many breakdowns because they're going to keep it real simple. You know, they're not going to show much. So therefore you're less likely to see them having miscommunication and those sorts of things. But I'm pretty excited about it. You know, I think on Friday we'll probably dive into the structure of the spring game a little bit more. I don't have a great handle on that right now. Last year it was a little gimmicky in favor of Casey Thompson. This year I think it's going to be more even-handed, to where both quarterbacks play with good offensive players. And of course, on the other side of it, they're playing with the lesser players as well at times. Can't wait.
Yeah, I tell you one other thing that I always look for, and you know, I think everybody does, when they go to a spring game, is what is just the overall talent level, right? Does this look like a team that can run? Is this a bigger team? Is this a team that's young? While the coaches probably have a feel for that, right? They're right. The ones seeing them every day. Fans and people like you and me, you can hear it until you're long in the, I mean, until you got gray hair, but until you see it, it actually makes a difference. And I think that I'm hopeful that we see a more athletic team on the field, and a little bit faster team than what we saw a year ago. And I didn't even mention the linebackers, which, you know, we could talk for days on on that, I think. One couple things I want to mention before we finish out this episode with a state of the program. Eric and I will be there on Saturday at the spring game. We're going to try to all sit together. If you're welcome to come out, I think the spring game is actually free. We'll post what section we're sitting in on the Inside Texas message board. Make sure anybody and everybody wants to come out and hang out can do that. And we welcome you guys. The second piece is please consider a subscription to InsideTexas.com. That's where all the latest recruiting news breaks, all the team insider info that Eric just talked about as well. We go there first with it and also talk about it through the message boards, not just Eric and myself, but Jerry Hamilton, Justin Wells, Paul Wadlington, Ian Boyd, Joe Cook, a host of us. All right, Eric, anything you want to end with before we get going here today and get ready for the spring game this weekend?
All right, well, it's the last week of our promotion. So, you know, last time you can get that dollar offer for 4 months. So it's pretty unbeatable. If you don't like it, don't come back. That's the beauty of the free market. You know, it's only a dollar investment. You can cancel easily if you want to. I don't think you're going to want to, but just give us a chance. You know, this is a, I think Bobby and I are getting better at these videos, but I think I come across a lot better over the written word. Definitely more comprehensive than we are here. So give us a chance on the message boards, and I think we'll earn your trust.
I think we come at it from all aspects when it comes to the website and the answering questions and the Q&A people are able to get. So, all right. Hey, Eric, I appreciate you, man. I'll see you. I think I'll see you on Friday for lunch. Oh, yeah. And then we'll be at the game together on Saturday, man.
Yep. Sounds good, Bob.
All right. Have a good one.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.